Today's episode of The Mom Game is brought to you by our friends at Gateway GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is, Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new GMCs and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaygmc.com, look for the Shop, Click, Drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule your delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaygmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. And welcome inside the Coppola Studios for episode 264 of The Mom Game. I'm Emily Jones. She is Julie Dobbs. We are together so much. Year 5 in the books. We're starting year 6, right? That would be the starting of our 6th year.
Correct.
Because we celebrated 5 years last week. We've got some Coppola Sauvignon Blanc.
Yes.
Yeah, we got a big guest coming up today. Should we tell people who it is?
I think we should, because yeah, it's big, and I don't think we've
it is big.
We haven't
the only
it.
Bad thing is we're not going to see his face, but we are going to hear his voice, and many, if not everyone, will recognize his voice because he has been a broadcaster. He's been a broadcaster, NFL broadcaster for a number of years. He's an NFL Hall of Famer, and his name is Troy Aikman.
I even was able to like tell Ryder this morning, and he knew who he, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
super
I was like,
excited.
Guess who we're having on the show? He's a former cowboy, and he's like, he said this was his order of guessing, which I love to hear what little kids think, right?
Okay,
Emmitt Smith, and I was like, no, but you're okay. Very close.
Very
Tony
close.
Romo,
okay,
and I said no, and then I go back to Emmitt Smith, like.
Oh, gosh. There's my phone. Is that Troy calling?
That's me trying to put it on silent, but doing the exact opposite and putting it on explode. sorry, everybody listening. That probably startled you, and your phone is not ringing. It was just my phone.
Okay.
Not Emmitt Smith. And I said, go back to Emmitt, though. Who's his quarterback? He's like, Troy Aikman?
Troy
yeah,
Ryder.
Yeah. So then we put, turn on the Alexa and start asking Alexa a bunch of questions about him so he can learn about him. Because
It'll be awesome. Love Troy. I've got two embarrassing stories to share with him.
Okay.
Can't wait for that. I'm kind of grateful he's not in studio because then it won't be super uncomfortable.
He would turn
bright red. But yeah, so we'll talk to Troy. Like I said, he had eye surgery or something, but we jumped at the opportunity to have him on the show. We're going to talk a little bit of 8 Elite Light Lager.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff he's got going on. And Troy's just a good
girl dad.
Girl dad's so hard. Anyway,
I'm so excited.
He'll be a fun conversation to have for sure. So that is coming up later in the show. We've got a bunch to get to before we welcome Troy into the Coppola Studios. But speaking of Coppola, you know what? It's almost time for the Charles Schwab Challenge. And I know because I just went to Colonial Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really working hard to get that place finished because, you know, they're completely redoing
right. The
clubhouse. It's insanity. And so they've got to have it ready for the tournament. And Coppola will be there to welcome us with open arms to the Charles Schwab Challenge.
To be partnered with the official wine of the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial Country Club going on in May. Of course, they continue to also support the Do It for Dirt Foundation, which is near and dear to Emily's heart. We absolutely love working with the people over at Coppola. And they have some like new wines like we want to talk about a little bit.
Okay, you get to the copy points, but I want to show you what I picked up yesterday.
Yeah, well, they're in the copy points, but it starts with the one that we know and love, the Claret Cabernet Sauvignon. That's the perfect pairing with all meals. It received a 93-point rating from Wine Enthusiast Magazine and a 99.9% rating from me. Coppola Diamond Prosecco goes great with friends and family anytime. And in 2025, Coppola introducing a new lower calorie and lower alcohol Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Grigio, and they want to make sure that you know to be on the lookout for a new Coppola Shimmer wine blend.
Okay.
And what do you have?
So here, I bought these, first of all,
because— And you wrapped them.
I did not. This is how they come.
Where? How?
At Specs.
What?
Yes. So
have they been listening to us?
Okay. But I think these are older. These are not new. But I bought them because they're wrapped in cellophane.
That's amazing.
So this is a Sofia Brut Rosé.
Okay.
Super cute. And then this is the Sofia Blanc de Blanc. Have you ever had a Blanc de Blanc?
Yes.
I love Blanc de Blanc. Yeah. I don't even know that I love it so much as I just love saying it.
Blanc de Blanc. Yeah, we're so fancy.
This isn't the new stuff, but Coppola is so versatile, and I could not find the new wine, but I'll keep looking for it.
Yeah, well, this just says in 2025, it's coming.
Yeah, so it may not be out, or it wasn't on the shelves, so because I asked around, but I could not resist.
Those are so cute.
Purchasing the bottles and that were wrapped in cellophane.
They'll be all ready to give to our guests.
Exactly.
Or us.
Or us to take home and undo. Yeah. So thank you to Coppola. Can't wait to get out to Colonial and experience the Charles Schwab Challenge and have me a glass of Coppola vino.
It's the best.
Okay. This is the portion of the show where we catch up.
Oh, okay.
How you doing?
Catch up. I'm good. I'm good. I still needed to talk all about what's going on with my son because it very much affects the whole family and myself. And I don't need to talk about it now, but it's just mental health stuff, right? And so whatever he's feeling, we feel. We're moms. That's how we work.
Sure.
So if he's having a terrible day, I'm having a terrible day. If he's super anxious, I'm super anxious. I'm also super anxious about him. Right? Like it's cyclical. So, you know, it's day by day.
Yeah. Well, okay. I know you don't want to get too deep into it, but is it okay to say that, like, so he's been diagnosed with some neurodivergent, which I don't really even understand that word.
Yeah.
What's the proper terminology?
Well,
he's neurodivergent.
Yeah.
Like, is that
say?
Okay.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I'm learning it all too, but I think you could say that. Yes. So ADHD, anxiety, and I'm not like hiding the diagnoses, but level one autism. So that's the one that I wasn't really prepared for. The other one I wasn't prepared for was depression with a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
So that hits you hard in your heart.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay.
But he's doing a lot better.
Yeah. And then you're now navigating, right? Like how to treat these things, how to handle them as a family, how to handle them as parents, how to handle them as writer, how to handle them as Anna. Yeah. Like it's a whole, and there's not a playbook for this. Am I right?
You're right. And I wish there was, but like you have to start with the information and then you start with like, what kind of doctor do I even talk to? Cause there's lots of different kinds of doctors.
Yeah.
So then just imagine like opening up lines of communication with like 4 different doctors, and every single piece of information is very important because you're trying to fix your kid's brain or help them be happy. Right. So it's like, oh, I've got to reply to this, or they're asking for this paperwork or that paperwork. They recommend this medicine and I don't know if that's the right medicine. And then you try the medicine. And then like just last Sunday, we had a very scary reaction to the medicine. So it's just a lot. You do need a playbook. And I hope that someone figures that out.
Yeah.
But there's all kinds, you know, and then there's like the people who say don't medicate them, which is obviously a very hot button topic. And I think every kid is different.
And every
parent is different.
Can we just say an amen to that? Like for every situation. Every family is different. Every child is different. And that's why there is no playbook.
Right.
Because not every, not one shoe fits everyone.
Right.
And so that's what your job is as his mom. And that's what you've been charged with. And that's what you've embraced, that you're going to find the best avenue for your child.
Right.
Is it going to be the best avenue for another child and another, or in a similar situation? No, because all of those dynamics are different.
Right.
So I guess what I want to say as your friend is that I'm proud of you for kind of embracing this and tackling it head on. And don't fucking listen to people.
Oh,
don't.
Yeah.
Don't.
I haven't.
You have to figure out what's best for you and you have to figure out what's best for Ryder and what's best for your family. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Everyone else can screw all the way off.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. that, you know, I have, you know, it, you know, we all deal with different challenges as parents. Some seem very minimal in relation to others, whatever. But it's like you have to figure out how to, you know, how to, what works best for your family right. and your children.
Yeah.
So,
and we went through this with, you know, with Anna, like she was in the hospital a bunch for asthma, and you get all these people like, well, is she doing this or doing that? Or does she drink milk? Does she do like all these things that you don't yeah. even, you don't, you, and like, I don't know how one person, like just being real, I don't know how one person is supposed to comprehend and process and yeah. manage all of this for your children. And then, oh yeah, maybe you too, but that's just a, if there's time, you know.
Sure.
So, but like with her and now him, it's just a lot because it's like little project managing jobs that directly affect your children.
Yeah.
So it's hard. But, you know, I'm hopeful for, I'm learning a lot about it, and it's very impactful. It's very interesting. I feel like when you open up about these things, you learn how many people are dealing with them.
Yeah.
And it's quite frankly, very scary
yeah.
that this many kids are being diagnosed with ADHD, anxiety, and that leads to depression. Now the autism thing, that's a whole new world for me. And I see it and I had a feeling. But that like they don't necessarily agree with each other and the medication doesn't agree with each other. However, what they're saying these days is like a lot of ADHD people are on the spectrum and that didn't used to be diagnosed. It didn't right. used to be talked about.
Yeah.
And now it is. And so that's what we learned. Like this week is Autism Awareness Week at school
yeah.
for him. So I'm like, how is he processing this?
Right.
Everyone's wearing blue, like, which is great. But is he ready to tell the world that?
Right.
Or is he going to, he's a kid, he's 9. So he's probably going to casually just say, oh, I have that.
Right.
You know? And yeah. so, and I think that's all it really needs to be is like, oh, I have that. That's me. And yeah. I love that the school's doing that to normalize it.
Yeah. I remember when Henry was seeing a therapist, not terribly regularly, but pretty regularly.
Yeah.
And I was worried when I got him out of school, like, is he going to want people to know where he's going? And he'd be like, oh, I'm going to see my therapist. I have yeah. anxiety. And I was like, kick ass. Like,
right.
that's awesome. Like, I love that he's just like super like, yeah, I've got anxiety. I'm going to talk to my therapist.
Yep.
And, you know, and that was a phase for him that he kind of, I say, grew out of. Like, it'll, you know, he hasn't needed therapy, you know, recently. But I loved the fact that he was just so nonchalant about it that, mm-hmm. like, that's what it is. But
yep.
these are all roads that you're navigating. I'm proud of you as your friend for talking about it. I think you're right that, like, a lot of people are dealing with things and they don't share because they feel, you know, it's, first of all, they just don't know about stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then kind of brings me to my other point that we can kind of get, I don't want you to get super emotional, or if you can if you want, but like that to like, can we just normalize like not being normal? Like,
yeah.
you know, or perfect, or you know what I mean? I feel like I've seen it a lot recently where it's like, you know, and I think we're all guilty of it in some way. Like I think about Henry, like, and listen, I love my child and Henry works his fucking nuts off, whatever. You know, sometimes I struggle with what to post on social media because I'm like, I'm so terrible at it. So like if he's hitting in the morning, I'll be like, oh, he's hard at work. Yeah, but then he got a note. I got an email from his teacher, you know, last week that was like, yeah, and he was being a jackass in class, basically. So it's like, so yeah, he's not the perfect child. There is no perfect child. There's yeah. no perfect parents. There's no perfect life. There's no perfect anything. Like, it's just like, can we all just acknowledge we are in the middle of a shitstorm and none of us know what the fuck to do about
right.
it?
Right. And it does help when you can normalize that and just talk about it and be yeah. real. And that's why we do this. And that's
right.
why
we're but here. Like, yeah. But like,
yeah.
But it's like, but can you imagine people being like, I mean, what do you think you did? What do you think happened to Ryder or to, you know, and then
right.
go into all these things or like, I don't know. It's just, you know, I don't know.
And the people who do that, it's, yeah, it's like, okay, what's your point? You want me to feel worse? Like, you know, why would people diagnose? And what I found is actually quite the opposite. Like from talking to people, it's like, oh my God, my kid too. Or like, oh yes, my God, for me.
For sure.
Like,
yes.
You know, like adults, moms,
yeah.
parents. It's not just kids, but
oh, yeah.
our kids are who we micro or like we we try to fix everything and make sure they're always happy. But like a lot of moms or 20-year-olds or whatever are like, well, I was just diagnosed with ADHD a couple years ago and I wish that I would have known when I was a kid.
Right.
You know, so the feedback like in our world has been very good and very like, thank you for talking about it.
Well, that makes me happy.
Yes.
That makes me happy.
Yeah. And those that judge, like you said, they can fuck all the way off because I just like don't have time for that.
Those are just people.
And I haven't felt that yet.
I know. But
there's probably there.
And I'm not even talking about like the writer. Like I'm just talking about like, you know, just people clutching their pearls if like you tell them that your kid did something bad.
Right.
Or like, I don't know, only sharing when you win and only sharing when you are successful and only sharing when you are, you know, you're slaying it. Like, can we just like, you know, I sucked today and so did my kid. And, you know, it's going to be all right. And it doesn't mean they're, you know, we're any less because of it. But like,
well, we kind of make fun of the people crying on Instagram or like the very serious, like I'm blah, blah, blah.
Oh gosh.
But like those things get such good engagement because everybody feels it.
Right. Okay. Yes.
It's very raw. I
see what you're saying. But is it?
I don't know. Probably some, probably yes, not.
And that's what we're saving that for what's on your feed. Because I am having the biggest problem with trying to figure out like some of these things have got, not some, a lot of these things have got to be staged.
Yeah.
Like, it's insanity. We're put a pin in that. We're going to say.
But yeah, that is.
Well, I'm glad. I know we're starting to kind of delve a little bit more into writer. And I think that this community will, of the people listening to my voice right now and hearing your voice just now, are going to be so supportive of you. And I think that there's probably an army of people who are in a very similar situation that appreciate you bringing light to it. And I am proud of you for doing it. And I know it's not fun and I know it's not easy, but Ryder is so fucking lucky to have you as his mom. And y'all are gonna kill it. You're gonna kill it. I just know it.
Thank you. I am exploring all the options. I had a great call today and I think they might be a partner on our show, but like there's all kinds of options. And so I'm excited about one of them. Where, you know, there's just stuff you haven't even heard of that's not, didn't know about.
Yeah, it's just like, because you're, why would you be thinking about that? Because it doesn't pertain to you, right? We live in our own little bubbles and to a certain degree.
And I'm fine medicating myself. But like, he had a scary reaction and we were in the urgent care like just last Sunday. And it's fucked up. Like, it's scary when you see your kid not able to control their arms or their mouth. Like, it's weird. And it's a very rare reaction. To this medicine, and he was doing great on the medicine, and it's to no fault of anybody that prescribed the medicine because it usually is great. And he had, like, it was just so weird. He'd gotten like super locked in on sports, like he was doing awesome. But then when I saw that, it changed kind of everything.
Yeah.
When it came to my perspective, and it is very overwhelming. So I'm excited to kind of go down a different path, perhaps. And you know, I think we do, like, we could have a whole freaking podcast about this stuff. Like, we could.
And we're going to have Dr. Malofsky, who was on with me, which you couldn't be there that day. You're going to handle that interview
at his doctor's appointment.
Yes, exactly. And you're going to do that with him. And I think that's a great time for you to just kind of like take that time to, you know, this shit is real that's going on
it's very real
with our kids. And you do wonder, like, where is it coming from? Like, where is it more prevalent, or do we just know about it more now?
I think it's both, but it does make you wonder.
It does. Like, you know, when people talk about, you know, the hormones and this and then this and that and vaccines and all the things. And
I think it's that. And then I think parents put a lot of pressure on kids, that whether they mean to or not. I think they do.
Well, no, agreed. And they can, they know. It's like dogs can sense our energy. You don't think kids can? 100% they can. But like, I think about Ryder, like Ryder hasn't been exposed to social media. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Because that's usually like one of the triggers. Like, I've noticed myself, like I get real weird on social media. Yeah. Like, I don't like being on it a lot. I don't post a lot. And then when I get on there, I'm like, this grosses me out.
It makes you feel icky, bad.
Right. Well, it's all about being able to balance it, right? And so I think that's on me that I haven't regulated myself well enough.
Yeah.
if that makes sense.
No, but I don't think many people have.
It's hot.
And it's, that's why there's so many issues. Right. Okay. Because we, like, the social media becomes our inner voice.
Yes.
And that's fucked up.
I know. Okay. So we're, and I say that, like, my girlfriends are like, you're not on social media a lot. Why are you sending us fucking reels all the time? Because I do. I do reel scroll and I'll be like, ah, this is funny. This is funny. Oh,
some of it's great.
This is us. This makes me laugh. And then I'll see the ones and I'm like, what the fuck?
Right. That's the reality of it.
It's the reality.
But okay. Outside of that, I am going to Round Top tomorrow.
Okay. You're very excited. Finally going
We've
to
talked
Round
about
Top.
Round Top on this show. You still haven't been, right?
No.
You would love it, I think.
I don't know if they'll let me in there.
They'll let you in there.
Okay. Okay. Well, I can't wait. Will you be a social media, like,
yes,
crazy person and just,
yes,
show,
oh,
us,
yeah,
all?
I can, I do like the Mom Games first trip to Round Top.
Will you please? Like, I, sure, feel like you need to do this.
Yeah.
For, like, us.
A non-antique,
and you're going
shopper.
With, yes. And you're going with Anne. You're going with your mom.
My mom.
That's so fun.
And my best friend and her mom.
Oh, Jessie.
Yes. Jessie, okay, who's been on our show.
Hey.
Because my mom just turned 70, and then Jessie and I are turning 40. And so it started with, like, let's go on a
trip. Wait, when's your birthday?
June 4th.
Okay. Jasmine, you want to write that down?
June 4th.
Thank you.
I'll be the big 4-0.
June 4th. Okay.
Yeah. But we were trying to figure out a trip for, like, the big birthdays, and then, yeah, it just turned into Round Top from a Wednesday to Friday because that's what we could manage in our life.
I feel like you need to get a hat.
Yes.
Like, you need to get some new boots.
I want to be a dessert person. I've always said this. Like, when I've always wanted to go to a casino in, like, Oklahoma or wherever.
Okay, well, I'm in for that.
And just, like, wear a disguise, like, be weird, like, no one knows who I am, like, wear, like, weird ass, like,
why have
clothes,
you been,
wigs.
Why have you been hiding
go,
this from,
like,
me?
Like, just go gamble and drink and just let it all out.
Why have you been hiding this from me?
Because I didn't know that anyone else would want to do it.
Choctaw, Windstar, like, this is the perfect, like, you've got two middle-aged moms wanting to come in disguises and just blow it out.
Boas.
You want boas?
Yeah, I want to wear a boa.
Okay. Can I draw the line?
You can wear whatever you want to wear.
Okay.
We don't have to be matching.
Oh, thank God.
I want to be, like, full on, like, I'm an 80-year-old grandma that, like,
in a boa,
lives in a casino.
Okay.
What do you want to be? How do you envision yourself?
Maybe, like, Daniel Negreanu.
I don't know who that is, but
it's
like,
specific. It's the only World Series of Poker player I can think of. Did you ever used to watch the World Series of Poker?
No.
His name's Daniel Negreanu. So I would wear,
I'm
like,
him up.
I'd be like super sleek, like wear all black and then sunglasses. And then, like, I would wear like a slick back bun.
Okay.
Like, it would, I don't even know.
But that. You're going to like do this.
I don't even know that.
You're going to use this opportunity to go gamble.
Well, no shit. I haven't been in forever.
I just want to go walk around and like fake smoke cigarettes and drink. And
well,
be like,
that's
ah.
dumb.
Well, that's who I want to be.
Okay. Well, then you can.
I'm not a gambler.
Come and check on me.
I'll check on you. I'll be like that woman, old grandma that checks on every once in a while.
Hey, honey, you doing okay?
Are you up or are you down?
Okay.
Well, if you're down, you should probably quit.
Obviously, like, this could be so fun. But would they let us have cameras in there? We record ourselves.
Probably not.
Anyway, Erica, holler at your girls.
I see Daniel Negreanu.
Negreanu. Okay. Okay. We have to move on.
Well,
what a great topic to come back to that
right?
we could explore.
I love it.
Okay. So you're going to Round Top with your mom.
Yeah.
It's
going
to be
fun.
I'll
put it all on the socials.
Please. That'll be fun. I mean, but you don't have to because that's me telling you to do stuff on social media. We know I hate it. I mean, just me doing it.
Yeah. But you know me and I can't help myself.
No, no. Don't help yourself at all. Okay. Let's get to some sports. Sports courts brought to us by our friends at Tylock George Eye Care. Custom lens replacement from Tylock George Eye Care is one of many life-changing options from the trusted ophthalmologist at Tylock George. And Tylock George offers 24 months interest-free financing with approved credit. If you have questions about your options, including custom lens replacement or LASIK, I had the custom lens replacement. Julia had the LASIK. All you have to do is give them a call. Schedule your free consultation by calling them or online at Tylock.com. You can use the exclusive code Tylock.com/TMG to get our special discount. Give them a call. Mention the Mom Game. Tell them you want to know about the procedures that Julie and I had that enabled me to read this copy without readers, contacts, or glasses. Okay. Mavs were just going to quick hit. They're up and down. They were 1-8 winning, and then they started losing, and then went whatever.
Anthony Davis is playing, right?
Yeah, and they seem to be really good with him. But I don't know. I'm just so over it. Like the Mark Cuban back and forth on Facebook with a former employee. Like,
gosh, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just over it. Like, I'm just like,
he can't help himself.
He can't. And here's the thing, that I feel terrible for every single dude that gets on the floor for those guys. Because, like, they don't deserve... And I feel like the fans are good to them, but like they don't deserve the backlash from all this bullshit. None of it was their fault. Nobody asked them. Nobody asked Anthony Davis if he wanted to be traded and come here. No one asked the guys on the roster if they wanted to, you know, swap Luka for Anthony Davis and, you know, and then Kyrie gets hurt. I mean, I just feel bad for those guys because I feel like they're kind of in a no-win situation where they're busting their butts, and good for them for doing so. But yet the fan base is still so pissed. They're torn over, like, do I root for them to lose or root for them to win or root for them to get their ass handed to them in the play-in or root for a draft pick? Like, I mean, you know, I love the Mavs. I'm definitely have lost touch with them over the years. But, you know, it's like I feel bad for those dudes. They're human beings too.
Yeah.
And I know they're making a lot of money, but
listen, they're
money
still humans. Make
they
I,
are.
And I feel bad for them too. It sucks when like an organization front office decision affects the player so much.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened. So they, like you said, they're just going to work every day, and all of a sudden their season went from like we're making a push for the playoffs and we have a really good shot at doing something in the playoffs to,
yeah, I know,
we're getting yelled at, we're getting heckled, we're the joke of the NBA, all it's of the headlines are about some governor guy and not us.
I know,
like that's shitty.
Yeah, it sucks. I hate it for them.
I hate it for them too,
because they're good. I mean,
they're dealing with injuries and everything else.
They're human.
I mean, you've heard the players like literally saying like, we're tired of hearing the fire Nico chant.
Yeah, they're over it. I get it. I would be over it too.
And so I think anyway, at this point, Luca's got to feel really great. Like, well, about, yeah, like, okay, I know how much y'all love me there.
Right. Yeah.
And but now sure. I wonder if he's even like, can you be nice? Can you make my friend's life a little easier?
Yeah, he loves those guys too. Yeah,
it's shitty because you don't like when the front office dumbass.
I know,
shit, and everyone just, in a corporation has to deal with.
I know,
you don't like when that affects a NBA team.
I know, and then it just like keeps lingering. Like it's like it's been 2 months.
Yeah,
and we're still like, but what else? Okay, Final Four, right? Fast, quick hits since it's basketball. Oh, yeah. Number four.
You went
one
on a little fun little ride there.
I did. Well, I thought we were gonna win. We were up like 10 with 4 minutes to go.
I know.
What are we doing?
But the win prior to that took you to the
league. You're right.
It was super exciting.
You're right.
How were you watching? Were you freaking out?
So I went, we got invited to a party to go watch it, a watching party. And so we were hanging on every basket, me and a girlfriend of mine, Tara, and I would like grab her leg every time we would make one, but we wouldn't discuss it. And there was another TV that was in the yard that was a little bit ahead, but we were trying to focus on this one so we wouldn't know what's coming, whatever. And then I thought we were sitting so pretty. And we have a group text with, you know, some people from other schools that like to remind you when your school sucks. And I was just about ready to fire off fucking Wreck'em or something. And then I was like, you know what? It's not final. I need to slow my roll a little bit. Thank God I didn't send it.
Right.
Oh, so anyway, yeah, it sucked. But you're right. I mean, the game before we from Arkansas, like they were in control and then we took it. And then with this game against Florida, we were in control with 4 minutes to go and then they took it. And so, you know, that's great
basketball
season.
Go.
That's the way basketball goes. So 4 number 1 seeds, kind of boring, whatever. Right. 4 number 1 seeds in the 5-4.
I know.
We'll also
you got to have that emotional connection. And
I know.
It's gone, I feel like a little bit.
I know. So now I need to find a new one.
But that was a great run.
It was a great run.
No, I was very jelly of all my tech friends because I was like, that looks so fun.
I know. No regrets. okay. Stars.
They're still doing very well. They just won like 4 out of 4 on a road trip. They swept a 4-game road trip and they won their 6th game in a row. So,
and they're coming in like they can still get the number 2 seed, correct?
I have to go look at the standings.
I feel like I've heard that they're like 4 points off.
But they've clinched the playoffs. They're in
but
the playoffs.
The thing is too, the NHL does jacked up shit with the seeding to where they're on a crash course with Colorado, which
they want to build the divisional rivalries.
Get it. But then at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, so bear with me for a minute. When we played Houston in 2023 in the American League Championship Series, and I remember Dave Raymond be like, or I can't remember who we played. We played Baltimore the series before. And then I can't remember who Houston played. And I was rooting for the other team. I was not rooting for Houston. And Dave Raymond was like, screw that. I want Houston. And I was like, are you out of your mind? I don't. Yeah. Houston has owned us for like a fucking decade. I don't want Houston. He's like, no, I want Houston. And I was like, what's wrong with you? And he was like, I want, if we're going to win it, like, let's win it. Like, if we're going to go, also, Emily, you and I aren't playing. Like, just so you know, we're not taking any at-bats. We're not throwing any pitches. I'm like, good point. But he's like, yeah, let's go. Let's go. Let's go to Houston. And then when we lost three games at home and we had to go back to Houston and win two, he's like, let's go. I want it. This is what I would prefer.
He likes the adrenaline.
I'm like, you, because he didn't, but also he didn't go through 2010 and 2011 and wasn't emotionally scarred from that. I mean, I'm sure he has plenty of emotional scars other than that. But anyway, so it's kind of like that. Like, okay, fine. So yeah, give us Colorado. Let's take them early.
Oh yeah.
In the run.
Well, and honestly, we get it. Like the psychology of playoffs and sports. Right. If you beat a beast early on in the playoff run, you're going to be way better for it.
Yeah.
If you stumble in and then you end up losing like a dumbass.
It's like you're going to have to play him at some point. Like, just fucking get it out of the way.
Yeah. But yeah, when you look at the Western Conference, they're just 4 points back now of the top spot in the West behind Winnipeg.
Okay.
So, and I saw some little thing like, okay. Bear with me.
Okay.
So there's a mode of life where you click on things, or there's a mode of life where you just read the headline. I'm in the mode of life where I just read the headline.
I don't know that I've ever clicked on anything. Like, let's be real.
And it's
that's why when you were talking about the emails I was sending this morning, I was like, oh, Julie, don't worry. Like, let's just pray they make it to paragraph two.
Right.
But yes, I'm not a clicker of links of things.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So like Ralph Strangis, I saw in a headline.
Okay.
Now, full disclosure, didn't click on the article.
Okay.
Because I'm not in click on mode.
It's dangerous. It's so dangerous.
I'm headline mode of life.
Okay.
Someday I'd like to think, and like that would be also correlate with like, I can go read a book right now.
Okay.
And I can't.
I know.
But I read the headlines and I cruise.
Okay.
And it was like, I called the game in 99 when the Stars won the cup and this team's better than that.
Ooh.
It was a headline.
It was a headline.
Ralph. We might need to talk to Ralph.
We should.
But that's Ralph's take. So I think that
I heard on the radio this morning that the Panthers and the Stars are the favorites to win. Did I make that up?
No, I mean the Panthers are
Panthers and the
really
Stars
good,
are the two
the
favorites.
Yeah.
Two favorites to win the Stanley Cup.
Right.
Oh my God, I hope they do.
Well, that's crazy. And also the Stars never do well when people put those expectations on them. So let's stop talking about it.
Okay, we're done. We're done talking about the Stars. Okay. Rangers, right fast.
Fill me in.
So we record on Tuesday, which is April Fool's Day, April 1st. Took 3 of 4 from Boston on opening weekend, which was awesome. Boston is a very good team, should be a very good team throughout the season. Lineup hasn't quite started clicking yet. Josh Young.
He's out again, huh?
On the injured list. But they say it's only going to be the minimum 10 days. Neck stuff. He should be fine. Starting rotation has been okay. Tyler Molly struggled. I hate it when people call him Molly. Molly struggled. Bullpen has actually been serviceable. They've been used a lot. Jacob DeGrom was awesome. Nathan Eovaldi on opening day was awesome, but bullpen faltered in the late innings. Jack Leiter had a promising start. So, you know, it's early. Like
we have a lot of young pitchers with high expectations. Right.
Well, we have two that really should not or would not have been in the rotation, Leiter and Rocker, because Bradford and Gray are on the IL to start the year. So, you know, they're going to figure it out.
How does that happen? We're just starting.
I know.
Some bullshit.
I know it is. So anyway, Rangers are going. I mean, it's a long road, the Rangers. And we'll talk a little bit.
When's your first game?
Yes. We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
It's on my feed. So what is on our feed and your feed, brought to us by our friends at Audrey Dolan's Media? We love them.
Yes, they are the curators of the feed. if you will. And they are working with us a lot and helping us. And that's why they bring us what's on our feed: influencer management, brand management, monetization management, collaboration management, influencer campaigns, content creation, photography, social media management, and website design. They literally do it all. And what you've probably learned if you're a business owner in this day and age is that you got to lean into that stuff. You need a hot, flashy website. You need some good social media. Audrey Dolan's Media can help you with that. They can also connect you with some influencers or shows like ours that could help you collaborate and sell your product.
Stop, collaborate, and listen.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Do it. Okay, so I'm going to save my little, not rant, but my PSA for News Desk.
Okay.
So on what's on our feed, one thing I did send to you, like we were talking about the, you know, people being overly emotional on Instagram, especially. This is another thing that I've noticed. The whole, little did she know that right after this video, she would be crushed by a semi and left for roadkill on Interstate 35. Jeez. I know, like...
Like, is the ghost of someone posting?
I don't know, but like the shit people are posting is so heavy.
Yeah.
What is even the wording? It's like, little did she know.
No, I think that's right.
5 minutes later, like she would discover her husband was cheating on her. And
so you are in the negative algorithm.
Maybe.
Because let me tell you what
I do?
Seeing.
Be like sunshine, little, rainbows, bliss, the air pillows,
success
of beauty and success. Yes.
Now let's see if that works on your algorithm. So
you know what
I'm
else is on my algorithm?
Trend.
Cortisol. What the fuck is up with cortisol?
I love the comparison of our algorithms because they're not.
Cortisol. I am getting blown.
Is this where
I don't
your
even
big pharma
know,
rant came from too?
I don't know where. I don't even know what cortisol is. But apparently.
Mine's dopamine.
If I regulate my cortisol, this shit is going to be so
my
tight.
My algorithm tells me to regulate my dopamine.
What's that? Dopamine's
like
your
shit you get from
working
scrolling.
Out. Oh, I thought that was working out.
Probably, yes, that too.
Dopamine.
Yeah. It's so funny though. Like, why are our phones trying to tell us who
I don't
we
know.
Are?
But I got to get to the bottom of cortisol. Like, I've got to get to the bottom of it.
So you need to regulate yours?
I don't know.
According to your phone?
I mean, they are literally slapping me in the face with cortisol. They're like, figure your cortisol out.
Let's dive in.
I know. So like that we I don't know what cortisol is. I don't know how to regulate mine. I don't know why Instagram is coming after me with cortisol, but it is. And it's coming after me
smart.
With 5 minutes from now. She doesn't know, but oh, that's what it is. She doesn't know, but 5 minutes from now. It's so, it's like.
She dies?
So the shit is depressing.
See, mine's like.
She doesn't know, but 5 minutes. And then I'm like, you know what? I don't believe you. I don't believe that you shot this video 5 minutes before you found out your husband was cheating on you. This is bullshit. You are lying and you are selling me a crock of shit. I do not believe you. That 5 minutes after that video was shot, you find out your husband was cheating. I don't believe you. So stop trying to sell me on it so you can get likes and hearts and all the kind of stuff. But then that chick's probably like, well, joke's on you because I've already made fucking how many ever thousands of dollars on reel that's gone viral.
It's true.
So all let's just start true. Shooting depressing shit and be like,
okay, so this is the bigger, like our phones are doctors now.
She doesn't know.
She doesn't know. So my she doesn't know. Oh, good.
She doesn't.
Do it. She doesn't know what. What doesn't she know?
I don't know. She doesn't. Hey, well, look at that picture.
Okay. And now what's your text? Oh, what's your text?
Look, and then it's I get Gateway in there. She doesn't. I don't know. She doesn't know. But oh, my God, that looks. It looks so real. I look so really depressed.
You do.
I don't know. We have to think of something.
She doesn't know, but
she doesn't know.
Her
but
podcast was about to blow up to make them both millions of dollars.
Yes, that's what we should do. She doesn't know, but 5 minutes after this Instagram post, her podcast would blow. I don't know.
She's gonna be bought out by God himself.
Oh, God wants to buy her podcast. That's so awesome. Like she doesn't know that all the struggle she's been dealing with her partner Julie. are eventually going to pay off and God is buying her podcast. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
What's the bottom line, God?
But yeah. So here's the deal. I need to stay off social media because I get too frustrated with this stuff. Like, what are you doing?
It's frustrating. Can I please also tell you about the importance of cortisol?
Oh,
okay. Cortisol, we have 10 minutes. Essential. You don't want to hear it? Cortisol is essential for me. Cortisol is essential for maintaining homeostasis, whatever that is, and responding to stressful situations. It helps the body adapt to challenges and survive. However, prolonged or excessive
this is how I survive.
However, prolonged or excessive cortisol levels can lead to health problems such as Cushing syndrome, obesity, and high blood pressure.
Cushing? What is Cushing?
I don't know, but you need to look out for it. Your phone has figured your shit out.
I'm scared of I big swear, cortisol.
Our phone, like, we don't even need a medical degree anymore.
No.
We can look at our Instagram algorithm. Because mine is like dopamine addiction, okay. ADHD.
I know.
And
I
it's
know.
Like, okay, your kids probably have it because it's you. And I'm like,
it's all our fault. That's all our fault. Okay. That's good to know. We'll do cortisol deep dive next week. So we need to get to news desk, and I'm going to do a PSA in news desk.
Yes, let's okay. go.
So that is brought to us by our friends at Rev, and we love our friends at Rev because they help us with birthday parties.
Yay!
You can hit your next birthday party out of the park by hosting it at Globe Life Field. Globe Life Field has a number of birthday party package offerings to make your child or teen's next birthday a home run. Birthday packages include a ballpark tour, wiffle ball home run derby, a membership to the Junior Rangers Club, and so much more. So visit globelifefield.com/birthdays to book your experience today. We love Rev and we love Globe Life Field. Okay, so I want to end before we bring Troy on with like just a PSA.
Mm-hmm.
So I am still working for the Rangers. I have not retired. I am only doing 20 games. I do not make the schedule. I have not been to the ballpark because I was not asked to work. I don't know. That sounds weird. I was not scheduled to work opening weekend. I am not scheduled to work until April 28th. And I love and appreciate all of the people who have inquired about what my situation is. I have tried my best to respond to each of those. But just so you know, I am still very much, I think, very much part of the Rangers organization. I am just doing 20 games this year. I'm doing some sponsor events and other things as well. But I will not be at the ballpark on your television. I will not be on your television working a Rangers game as it is currently scheduled and constructed until April 28th. So thank you for all the love and sweet messages and people wondering where I was and, you know, saying nice things. That is the situation. And that's my PSA.
I think it's a good PSA.
Thank you.
It's good to put it in one place.
In one place. Yes. And then that way I can just have this video and I will just send it to people. Like, this is
Emily's OCD.
I know. But it is very sweet that people were inquiring.
Yes. So. It's jarring to not see you on the broadcast. Well, no, I don't know that because, like I said, I haven't figured out how to watch them yet. And if it costs me money, then I'm just
you're out. I don't blame you.
But if I was watching, it would be very jarring.
You would definitely want to see me if you're watching, wouldn't you? Okay. Yes. We have a guest. And we have a guest, and he has brought to us, we've told everyone who our guest is, it's brought to us by One Day Doors.
Yes.
I get to introduce him, which means you need to get us to the proper place where I can introduce him.
All righty. Our friends at One Day Doors and Closets, they can come into your house, they can basically give your home a makeover, and they can switch out all of your doors. They can take the measurements of the doors with a cool little thingamajig that they have and swap it
so
in
technical.
And out, right?
Thingamajig.
It's like some 3D technology. They have advanced technology that will ensure that those doors will fit even when the foundation of your home is shifted, which does happen. But one of the things that I didn't realize when it comes to switching out new doors is that it makes your home not only look much more put together from the inside or the outside, if it's one of your front doors or back doors, but it also will block out all of the noise, and our homes are noisy. That's huge for me. It actually makes a difference in that whole dopamine thing that we've been talking about, mental health, all that. You got to have some sanctuary and a solid wood door can make a world of difference. They do have a special going on right now. They typically save customers 30 to 50% compared to those big box stores. You can go to the big box stores and have it done, or you can use this code and save money. OneDayTexas.com/promo30. That's for buy one, get one free on doors. Or you can give them a call, 940-969-4790. You can also do an in-home visit, or you can head out to their Louisville showroom. Thank you, One Day Doors and Closet. Closets, tell them that the Mom Game sent you. And now let's hear from our very special guest of the day.
And we have been talking about it. He is on our phone lines, not exactly phone lines, but he's on the line. We can't see his face because he just had some eye surgery. And I know. But we were excited to have the opportunity to have the legendary, the Hall of Famer, Troy Aikman on the Mom Game. So, Troy, thank you so much, first of all, for being with us. We wish you were here in studio with us, but we appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, no, gosh, thanks for having me. And I give you my word, I will come. I'll be in the studio. I've been dealing with some chronic eye redness for a number of years, almost a decade probably, and I had surgery to hopefully correct it. So maybe next time you see me, my eyes won't be quite so red as they've been most of my last 10 years.
Okay. Well, I just thought that was from drinking too much 8 Elite Light Lager.
No, that's the beauty of 8. You know, it's additive free. And so you don't get any of the downside.
Okay. Well, I love it. We do. I'm not a huge beer drinker, but I will tell you, and this kind of ties into you being a girl dad. I was raised by my father. And the first beer I ever had was a Yellow Belly Coors Original that I snuck.
How old were you?
Do we really need to talk about that?
15.
Yeah, I mean, there was a teen involved.
Right, I love it. Love it.
But when I do, I'll tell you, there are certain times when I crave a beer. And every time I drink a beer, I think of my dad. My dad passed away 9 years ago. But he, like I said, he raised my sister and I. And so when I do yard work, like if I'm out in the yard, and then like if I've had just like a super long day and I'm outside and like grilling or whatever, like that. Yeah. Like you want to have a beer. And we were at one of your release or launch parties at Mikasina a few years ago. Yeah. And so it's a really good beer. So anyway, we're happy to have you on and promote it and talk to you about all the things. And so,
yeah, well, we're excited. Hard to believe this is our fourth year since we launched.
Wow.
And you know, you've got the bottles, which we came out with at the end of last year, and I'm really excited about what we have in store for 2025. We've got all brand new packaging. We've got a new SKU that's coming out here in a few weeks. I won't spoil it just yet, but as you know, and a lot of people that are familiar with the brand, it's additive free, and we're the only widely available beer that can say that. So we don't have any of the syrups, the sugars, the sweeteners. It's 90 calories, 2.6 carbs. So it truly is a better for you beer. And I began working on it about 6 years ago. It took 2 years to come up with the recipe, but it's kind of in the perfect sweet spot right now, especially as more and more people are starting to pay more and more attention to what they're putting in their bodies. And you know, this movement about make America healthy again, with what the administration's doing, I'm all for, and the beer kind of fits into that perfectly.
And doesn't all that extra stuff? And I know, you know, just in like being a wine lover, like in getting rid of all that extra stuff, the additives, the preservatives, all that kind of stuff, that tends to make you not feel like you've been hit by a train the next day.
No question. And you know, I'm not a big drinker myself, but I do. When I came up with the idea, I just thought it could be done better. It was formulated right around the COVID period. I knew people were going to go one of two ways, and I wanted to come out of it as healthy as possible. But it gave me the idea that I thought beer could be made better. I thought the brands had gotten tired, and I felt it could be done in a healthier way, which is really why I proceeded to go in that direction. It's obviously a very competitive category, but I do have some friends that drink a lot of beer, and they assure me that you know, they feel a lot better than next day because of the fact there aren't any of the additives with the added sweeteners and sugars and things of that nature that, yeah, tend to make people feel or at least remember how many beers they had the night before.
Okay, is George Dunham one of those friends? I need to know.
George is, hopefully he is, but he's not one that is.
He's not in the test group.
Told me, you know, that, yeah. But no, we've got a great following right now. We continue to grow. I'm pretty excited about where we're headed right now.
That's awesome. So many things we can talk about, Troy, of course. And I want to get back to some of that like entrepreneurial stuff because having had the football career that you had and then seamlessly kind of flowing into the broadcast career that you have to be hit with so many opportunities, right? Opportunities to partner in this, partner in that, come on this show, come on that show. And we know you're a dad and we want to talk about that a little bit more too, but just wondering as a human, like how do you manage all of these opportunities and decide where you want to give your time to?
Yeah, Julie, it's a good question. I have been asked to do a lot. Obviously I turn down more than I accept. At times I've gotten better. At times in my earlier years, I would get stretched way too thin. There's just so many, you know, there's a lot of business opportunity, but there's also a lot of good that's being done in the Metroplex. And it seems like a lot of the same people who give, when I attend a lot of these events, they're attending all of them. You know, I just think that Dallas and North Texas is so philanthropic, but it's always hard to say no to great causes. It's hard to say no to people that want you to be a part of something. And like a lot of young people, I kind of got caught up in that and really found myself just worn out. And so as I've gotten older, I've been able to be a little more selective. I guess more importantly, I've been able to graciously say no. Mm-hmm. And just try to realize that, you know, at this point of my life, the most important thing that I have is time, and I just don't want to give that away. And so I try to help as much as I can, but when it requires my time, that's when I pull back a little bit and I try to reserve that. And it's made me better for the things that I do accept. And I think it's just made me happier in general. So right now you guys all know Babe Laufenberg. He reminds me that whenever I make comments like this, he says, all you're really doing is acknowledging that you've gotten old. But I feel the best I've ever felt. I'm the happiest that I've ever been. And it's just a good place right now in my life. And, you know, I don't want to see that change.
So how much of that graciously saying no can be tied back to the fact that you have two girls and wanting to be everything that you can be to them?
I mean, my world really in not a weird way, but it revolves around them. But I say that, with also the caveat of, you know, I let them do their thing. Like I don't wear them out. I didn't even when I was raising them, when they were young, I've empowered them to kind of be able to make some mistakes of their own, learn life, live their life. Don't live the life that maybe dad wants you to live. Live the life that you want to live, but understand there are some guardrails and there are some parameters that I expect. And so I've been really blessed. I've told people this just in conversation when I've talked to other parents, especially parents of current young kids, that my girls, they never gave me an ounce of problems. I'm one of the really fortunate ones. And people would say, well, that's because you were present. You were a good father. And as much as I'd like to say, oh yeah, you're right. I know that it goes way deeper than that. They're just good girls. You know, they're innately good girls. And, you know, I love being a girl dad. I always thought that I would be a father to a son. I always believed that I would have a son. I'd always envisioned that. But after two girls, I really didn't want a third child. I didn't want to try for another boy. and I'm done having kids. But if I were to have another child, I would want it to be another girl. I love the whole dynamic of being a girl dad. And, you know, I hugged on them from the time they were born to this day, and it never has changed. And I don't know that it would be different if I had a son. I know that, you know, I don't go around hugging my dad the way that, you know, maybe some other sons hug their fathers. But I know that the dynamic of me being a girl dad has never changed, and it won't ever change. I'm really blessed to have two amazing girls that love their dad.
Yeah. So it's funny, Troy, my dad used to tell me this. He would say, you know, very similar. And I think he probably said it after he had two girls. He was like, I never wanted a boy. And I'm like, why? Like, it seems like most men want a son. And he said, because boys leave, they leave. And then, you know, he said, but you girls are never going to leave me. You girls are, and not saying that, I mean, and I have a son, and he better not fucking leave me. Like, let's be clear about that.
Well, they won't. The mom-son dynamic, that's pretty special too.
Yeah. But he would tell me, like, I always wanted girls because I knew that y'all would always come back to me. You would always be there. And and my dad was, it sounds like similar to you and the way that he let us make mistakes, and I'm just so grateful for having been raised by him. And I've got to lead into this, you know, one embarrassing story followed by another, but the first one is, so I grew up watching, we bonded over sports, my dad and sister and I, and so we would play with Barbies, but we would play with Barbies while watching the Cowboys play. And I remember the very first time I met you, I was working for Fox Sports Southwest. This was probably like 2004, maybe 2005. I had just gotten to Dallas. I worked in Lubbock before that, went to school at Texas Tech. I was still like 20, maybe 26 years old. I mean, I was still super young. And Fox Sports sent me out, and they're like, we need, Troy's going to be at the Davey O'Brien Award, and we need you to ask him these questions. And I was like, okay. Okay. And so you got out of the elevator, and I basically accosted you, and I was like, hello, Mr. Eggman. I'm Emily Jones from Fox Sports Southwest. And you're like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And I was like, I just was wondering if I could ask you a few, I mean, just like, I had a couple questions, like they have questions for me. I have a list, like, can I ask you some questions? And you like looked at me like, oh my God, bless her heart. And you were like, yeah, that's fine. And I was like, and I looked up at you, and I was like, you will? And you were like, yeah, like, it's an interview. This is fine. And so anyway, super, super embarrassing. Then fast forward, I've gotten to meet you a few times over the years. And but I saw you, like, this was like a year ago. I don't know if you remember. You remember this?
I know where you're going.
Oh my gosh, Troy. I thought
He's
I was going to die.
For this.
I thought I was going to die. So Cole Hamels was there with, you know, this guy, mutual friend of ours. And so the mutual friend was like, hey, Cole's here. You should come say hi. And I was like, oh, sure. So I go say hi to Cole. And then I see you're at a table with some other people. You're at a different table, I think, with people I'm friends with. And so I see Jenya and Felder. And anyway, and so she's like, oh, Troy's down there. And I was like, oh, I'll go say hello. So I go and like tap you on the shoulder, and you looked at me like I was crazy. And then I was like panicked. And then I was like, like, he thinks I'm just a rando.
Emily has social anxiety.
Yes. And I like, he thinks I'm random and I'm just fangirling or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And so then I was like, it's Emily from the Rangers. And you were like, oh, hey.
I felt so bad.
Oh, because you're with Pat and Corey too.
I was just not, you know, like if I was at a event or at a game, and then it just was, I was kind of, yeah. And then when you said Emily, I was like, oh my gosh, totally.
Out of context.
I know. Because you're with Corey and Pat too, Green, I think Corey and Pat were there, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Yes, we were actually, we were going to see Pat.
That's right. Okay.
Billy Bob's right after.
That's right.
We were at Joe T. Garcia's. And,
yes.
Yeah.
But so, I came back like so mortified. I'm like, oh my God, I thought he knew who I was. And then he didn't.
No, I'm glad you brought it up. But then you laughed and I just was like, oh gosh, she thinks I'm a total.
No, I didn't. I just felt so dumb. Like, it took every, like, I wasn't even going to bother you, but then Jenny was like, go say hi. Troy's down there.
And I'm glad you did. It meant a lot. And don't, don't ever hesitate to do that. Even, you know, and if I look at you like that again, just remind me, Emily from the Ranger.
Well, it's probably that moment in time where you're like, do I know this person? Do I not know this person? Am I supposed to know this person? Oh, no. You know,
God
it's
bless. Like, and you'd probably already been approached like 10 times there.
Yeah.
God bless.
It's a lot for one human.
It's a lot.
Okay. So going back to, you know, just the fathering or the being a dad piece of all of this. I love one of the things that I read. It was a quote that you said, and I think it probably resonates a lot with Emily, and which is why you guys, you know, have a lot in common here. But you said, what I learned is the girls get a lot of their self-confidence from their fathers. I wanted to treat them in a way that when they got to the age, which they are now, when they started dating, they could have an expectation as to how a man is supposed to treat them. And I just feel like that is super powerful. And probably for a lot of dads listening or whatever, just hearing somebody like you, somebody say something so powerful like that. I just wanted to ask you kind of a little bit of more about that. I know it's not an easy thing parenting girls as they start dating, but also along the way, you're not just parenting them. You're not just setting a curfew, but you're trying to teach them how you want them to be treated, how they should be treated. And how was the whole process for you?
Yeah, no, Julie, I appreciate the question. I'll be honest. These are like, I don't know why. I'm not sure exactly why, but whenever I'm asked about my girls, I feel this swelling, this lump in my throat. like I'm gonna totally break down. I think I need to see a therapist. I'm not sure.
We all do.
I get very emotional when I talk about them. So it's probably good the camera's not on, but, you know, yeah, I when I went through my divorce, I wanted to be everything that I could for them. And I, you know, make sure that you know, they had beliefs in themselves and the confidence and all that. And so I read a lot of books on raising girls. And what I got out of most of the books was that girls get their self-confidence from their fathers. And that's not taking anything away from moms. Moms provide a great deal of confidence to their girls as well. But I took that to heart. And so I was hoping that was accurate, because I knew I was going to be there for them and hoped that, okay, well, I'll be a constant in their life and maybe I can help in that regard. But yes, it was important to me that they came away from their adolescence, you know, with a standard as far as how they were going to be treated or what they would look for, you know, in a life partner. And I took that seriously. In fact, yeah, I'm old school in most everything that I do, and that includes courtship. And I believe that a man should open a woman's door. And some women, they don't like that. And I get it. And that's their prerogative. But that doesn't keep me from doing it. And so I would open my girls' doors from the time they could walk, when we were going to put them in the car and whatever it might be. And it became a game with my youngest daughter, Allie, to where she would race me to the car because she wanted to open her door. You know, she thought it was like a game. And I finally had to just tell her, look, Allie, dad is always going to open your door. And when you get older, you're going to date somebody and they're going to open your door. And if they don't, then I'm not sure that it's someone you should date. So that's kind of, you know, we still talk about those things. I've met their boyfriends. They're young. They're 22 and 23 years old. And so they've had different boyfriends over the years. And fortunately for me, first of all, in fact, my oldest, who lives in New York City now, she graduated in May, Jordan, she came home 2 weeks ago and she said, Dad, I want to bring home someone I'm dating. So, you know, then, well, he's passed the test if she wants him to meet me. And he couldn't be more pleasant. You know, my gut says that. You know, I know there's the Eddie Haskell element that you've got to work with, you know, as well when you're meeting these boyfriends. But yeah, so that's been kind of the approach. And Emily, to your point, you know, talking about your dad, if I had had a son, see, the Aikman name ends with me on my family tree. So I'm the last to carry on the Aikman name. If I don't have a son, it'll end, which is okay. But if I had had a son, you know, the things that I do with my girls is one thing, but with a son, it would be entirely different. You know, I would be approaching him as to, hey, here's how you're going to treat a woman. You're going to respect her, and you're going to do this, and you're going to, you know, shake people's hands. You're going to look them in the eye, and, you know, all those things that I think are important. Not that they're not important for a woman as well, but they're certainly important for a man and being a man of character in today's world. So I didn't get that opportunity, but doing the best I can with the two daughters.
Well, I think, too, one thing that I so appreciated about my dad, and you alluded to this a little bit earlier, of the, you know, the hugging and the affection that you show them. Like, when my dad died, I remember I wrote, like, I just wanted to write something. Like, I was in such shock, and it was sudden. And I was like, the one thing I don't have to worry about, sorry, not going to get emotional, is that I knew how he felt about me. I knew because he told me every time we talked. He said he loved me every time. He knew exactly how I felt about him. I knew exactly how he felt about me. And I feel like, especially in that time, that wasn't necessarily the case. Yeah. And I think it's something that, you know, it's still kind of gaining traction as far as men exposing those feelings. And for me, it was like, what a gift that I don't ever have to question. I don't ever have to wonder. I don't ever, of course, I wish I had one more conversation with him, but it wouldn't be to find out how he felt about me and how proud he was of me and how much he loved me, because I knew that because he told me every single time I talked about it.
Yeah, your dad, you know, he was, it sounds like his upbringing was a lot like mine, in that, you know, I never questioned that my mom and dad loved me, but it just was not something that was expressed. You know, there was not hugging in my household. Nobody ever said that they loved each other. And, you know, I was in college and I was involved in the church and Bible study back when I was at Oklahoma. And I remember one night we'd had a Bible study. We were talking about this very thing. And I picked up the phone afterwards. I called my mom, talked with her. And then when we were about to hang up, I said, hey, you know, mom, I love you. And it was just silence. Like, it just stunned her, you know, she didn't even know how to answer it, you know, but then it kind of then opened the door to where, you know, we said it then all the time. And my mom passed away a few years ago as well. My father's still alive. And, you know, I tell him when I talk to him, and my girls, they're like you, Emily, in that they hear it every time we speak, you know, every time they walk out of the room, yeah. You know, and they're going somewhere. And if my girls came home right now, as soon as they walk in the door, even if they're staying here for an extended period, when they come downstairs in the morning, they immediately, we give each other a hug and, you know, tell each other we love each other. And so it's totally different. You know, we're a generation removed from my upbringing to where we really didn't say it, to where my girls, like you, my girls won't, they may question a lot of things about dad, but that's not one of them as far as, you know, knowing that I love them and all of that.
Well, and it's like that night he died and I wrote, and it was like those three words, like I love you, strung together coming out of his mouth meant so much more to me. It was so impactful. And it, I don't know if, you know, if all men dads realize it, that it is, it's coming from him. And like you talked about the girls gaining their confidence from, you know, their dads. I mean, the my dad was like, fuck everybody. You can do whatever you want on this planet. And he's responsible for my potty mouth and the attitude that I've had basically throughout my life. Of like, he showed so much belief. And I just think, like you said, there are the relationships, and the mother-son relationship is great, and the mother-daughter and all that. There is something so very special about, and it, obviously to me, about that father-daughter relationship that is so incredibly powerful. And you don't have to be a single dad for you to have that effect on your girls.
No question. Yeah. And I agree that I think that, you know, the generations getting more, I think men are a little more sensitive than they once were, or don't have to carry around this tough guy persona, and you know, which is all positive. I think more and more men are feeling that they can express themselves and do it comfortably.
I just have to say, I absolutely love this conversation that you two have had.
Like, no, sorry.
Like, we're sorry it's taken a while, but that is just some good stuff that people don't hear and that people need to hear. And when it's you, Troy, and you, Emily, having this conversation, I think that can really resonate. So thank you so much for the time, you know, and kind of diving into that with us. There's obviously, it's super impactful, and that's what we try to do here on this show. And there's obviously a million things we could discuss, but one of the other, I guess, topics that we talk a lot about here on this show, and we've talked about it with former athletes, is kids sports, youth sports, and coaching kids sports, and you know, how just society these days and parents and the pressure they probably don't know they're putting on kids sometimes leads to all of these different things with our kids. All that to say, I hate to pass up the opportunity to ask you, Troy Aikman, if there's a kid just starting out, wants to play football or any sport, and wants to be serious about it, what kind of advice, like what kind of path would you want to put them on? What kind of things would you want to instill in their mentality, their sports mentality about the game and about succeeding?
And I think that would probably apply to any sport, right?
Yeah, any sport.
Yeah, I get asked a lot if I had a son, a young boy, if I'd let him play football, and because of the head injuries and things of that nature, I would just answer that for myself and say that I would.
Until seventh grade. Literally, my son did not play football because I heard you say one time, like. Like seventh grade or 13, you gave an age.
Where are you at
like,
on that?
Okay,
now?
I was like, I'm riding with Troy on this. Henry, you're not playing tackle football for a minute.
It's probably even going to get older at some point. Yeah. I think there is going to be a time when we look back and if a kid played tackle football before high school, we're going to say, you got to be kidding me. You know, I think that's probably where this is heading. I know the NFL. I think the NFL's done a great job in terms of trying to make the game safer, and you know, now they have really gotten behind and have been an advocate for flag football, which I think is incredible. I'm all for kids playing sports. I think you learn so much. I joke about it. I tell a story about my oldest daughter. I won't get into it again, but that I didn't push them in sports. I never thought. And I don't think this about any kid, quite honestly. It's not just my girls. If you're a bettor and you're betting on a kid to get a Division I scholarship or even go further and make a living in sports, if you bet against kids, all kids, you're gonna win a lot of bets. Mm-hmm. So it's just, but it's crazy. I watched my girls grow up with it. That I'm amazed at how many parents believe. and push their kids to be college athletes. And they believe that they're going to get full ride scholarships. And it's amazing watching this at 7, 8, 10, 12 years old, how these parents interact with their kids and what they demand from them with this bigger goal in mind. And there were a lot of good athletes. My girls were two of them on these teams. But I think there was maybe one or two that went on to play collegiately. You know, a lot of them got burned out. A lot of them just didn't continue to develop, whatever it is. But the reason that I wanted my girls to be involved in athletics was I think it keeps them out of trouble, keeps them active, keeps them moving. But then they learn a lot of life lessons that just apply. I mean, I've realized it in business that everything is about being a team. Even being a part of a family is part of being a team. And so sports teaches all of those things. And when you get out of school and you're in your own career and you're raising your own families, you know, all those experiences and lessons that you learned in athletics, they all apply. I'm all for it. I'm a big believer in it. I'm a believer in kids playing as much and being as active as they possibly can be. I had three rules with my girls. They were going to play hard. They were going to be a good sport, to their teammates as well as the opponent, and they were going to do what the coach said. And I told them, I said, it's not about, you know, well, what happens if I score a goal, Dad? What do I get for that? I said, you get a pat on the back. I mean, that's what you get. You get nothing. I mean, because it's not about how good you are. It'd be great if you're a great player, great. That's awesome. But these three things you can control. And if you do those things, you'll never hear me complain or be upset with you when you come off the field. Now, if you don't do any one of those three, then we're going to have a conversation. I think there's a lot of you're both of y'all's kids are young, correct?
13 and 11 for me.
Yeah, I'm 9 and 6.
Yeah, so you know, you guys are right in the throes of it, and you know, so but there is a lot to be learned by these kids being active and just learning things on the athletic fields that'll last them a lifetime.
Yeah, and team sports. I mean, there's nothing like it. I mean, because you learn how to not act like a jackass when your teammate screws up, you know, yeah. And then you're pissed and you have to learn how to control those emotions because here's the deal, you're going to screw up next. And then, yeah. You know, all the things. Yeah, team sports are amazing. Yeah. Well, Troy, we're not going to keep you, but we could talk to you for another hour and a half. please come in studio soon.
Anytime.
And I'm sorry for crying earlier.
No.
Wish the camera was on you because I have a feeling you might have teared up a little bit too, but we just couldn't see it.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for your time. We'll keep drinking our 8 Elite Light Lager.
We truly appreciate it. I mean,
yeah, this was so fun. Like I said,
we could
talk for another hour and a half easily.
Well,
I enjoyed it. I'd love to come back in studio whenever y'all want. And both of you, Emily and Julie, if you run into me at Joe T's, don't hesitate to come up and say hello.
We've worked through that situation.
Still have a little PTSD, yeah. But I'll see what I can do.
Well, we go Rangers.
Thanks,
go
Troy.
Rangers.
Appreciate
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Thank y'all.
Okay,
thank
talk you. Soon. Mom Game Out.
Mom Game Out.